spicy. You're just going to chill.
As I say, it's been a lot of fun with the Facebook group, seeing all like the plant people I talk to, like now popping up in the DMV group. I'm like, there you go. You found the right way.
I've been kind of noticing that too.
Like, I've been bugging a certain friend of mine, and I see that she's finally like asking questions. I'm like, yes, keep asking questions.
Ask away, my pretty.
Oh, well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Rough Around the Edges podcast. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Mackie.
And today we have a special guest joining us for a planty chat. It's Catherine from our Beneficial Bugs episode.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. We're just hanging out and having a plant chat.
Yeah.
What have you always been growing?
I started a pond.
A pond. Oh, that's what that was?
Yeah, a little pontainer.
Pontainer. Yeah, it looks like a giant plant pot. But it has two water. Were they lilies?
No, they're water lettuce. I'm just starting out with like basic whatever.
Nice.
I plan to grow plants in it, but it's not for plants. It's for fish.
I was going to say you go put fishies.
Yeah, it's pond season in house. Not houseplant world. That's in fish world. It is pond season. This is when you set up your ponds and you breed your fish outside because they do better and you don't have to actually do any work.
Yeah. What are you going to put in there?
I'm thinking about blue platies.
Okay.
They're fun. They're easy. Yeah, yeah. Throw some floater plants in there. And then next year, if I do good this year, I want to grow some lotus or something.
Cool. Oh, that could be fun.
Do you bring the fish inside in the winter?
My plan is to take them to this fish store that I frequent. And I'm just going to give them to the dude. Be like, here, have it.
I'll come back. Fish.
I'll be like, the stipulation will be next year. I come and pick up my supply from him. And
nice.
He'll probably be okay with it.
Gotcha.
Because it means free product to sell later because he gets the babies. These things crap out babies every like 20 days. So
shit.
Put a trio in there. I'll have like 100 by the end of the summer.
Nice. Dang. How big is your pond?
20 gallons.
20 gallons.
It is literally a whiskey barrel insert.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
Nice. No holes.
No holes. I mean, if I'm going to put some in it, but it's not meant for drainage. It's not meant to drain.
Right. It's interesting that it would go in a whiskey barrel and then doesn't have any drainage.
It's not. It's meant for a whiskey barrel pond. That's why it's called a pontainer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
This is actually what it's. I know I'm actually using something for the purpose it was made for.
What? Crazy. Okay, so it's water lettuce, and then when are you adding the fish?
I'm going to let everything get started, and I'm assuming I'll have to have, like, a week where I have to go add them, like, in a week. Because otherwise mosquitoes start to become an issue, and I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah,
and the fish will eat the eggs that they lay?
Yeah. Yep. That's my excuse to my husband is, oh, the fish are there just to kill the mosquito larva so that way I can have it. I'm actually growing plants.
Not, so that's what you're telling him.
But yes, but really, I'm doing
hopefully it. He doesn't listen to this episode when he downloads it.
Oh, he downloads it. He downloads it, but he doesn't ever listen.
I know.
That's great.
Remember, this is the contingency for when Mackie dies. Then he can listen
just so
to
he can
voice.
Hear my voice.
Yeah, his husband will listen to our podcast.
In memoriam.
What a way to be remembered.
I know, right?
Right. And, you know, maybe he'll pick a thing or two up about plants while he's at it.
He waters when the pothos wilts. That's all he needs to know.
The indicator plant.
I told my kid's dad, I was like, listen, if anything happens to me, don't just like give my plants away. Like have one of my planty friends come over and like assess this collection.
Yeah.
Because
I was going to say, I had the same thing where I was like, if I die or get incapacitated, here's the list of people you call and here's who you call for what.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Adrian's going to call Kaylin. She'll come over and.
Yeah. And Christine, Brandon knows they're going to call Christine and Mackie.
And at this point, it's more so like, how do we just divide the collection up amongst ourselves? Dibs on Kaylin's tie, by the way. It's on record.
To grow it forever, so it will have to get cut.
It's not me I'm worried about. It's if I'm having a say in this, no one's gonna see your tie and be like, kill for that bitch.
Oh, sure.
But I'm already dead.
Christine's not.
Death threats on two podcast episodes in a row?
Yeah.
I didn't threaten you. I just gave you a look that threatened you.
Oh, I'm shaking.
You use that foul tasting word.
Oh boy, that's a good one. Way to start the episode.
I had a really interesting update on my Billy. I was telling Kaylin this yesterday.
Yes, this is interesting.
Yeah. So for the longest time, internodal spacing on that guy was like 6 to 8 inches in between. I have it on a pole, moss pole. Yeah. It doesn't attach, so it's just against the pole. It's just supporting, really. Yeah. 2 months ago, I put it in a west window instead of under Soltec lights. And it's the leaves have stopped getting bigger. They've all kind of stagnated as far as size. But now internodal spacing is like 2 inches.
So it's going back to the self-heading.
Yeah.
Kind of makes sense because those ones have such a wide wingspan on them. It's probably hard to light the entire thing. So you're probably lighting it just enough to get those nice big leaves. And it was enough for the plant. But the plant was probably like, this could end at any time. I need to stretch out.
Oh, so now, oh, I see what you're saying.
So are you saying the Soltec light was too much light or not enough?
It was enough at the growth point to sustain the new, bigger growth and let it keep doing that. But the plant was wanting to reach for more light probably. So it probably increased the internodal spacing to get up there to get a more stable.
But how does that explain why it's getting shorter in a west window?
Because now it's got more light all around it. It's getting a larger volume across the entire
Remember, we were talking about the whole like side light thing versus top light. So now because of the way the leaves are getting sunlight in the west window. The
top now that it's getting that side light, it doesn't need to grow high. It can just spread out wide.
If we're going
to
put our Billy under a grow light, we need multiple lights coming at it from different directions.
I think you would want like something that's angled. So right now,
instead of top down. Yep.
I think that would work better for like any of what those are like flag philodendrons to me because it looks like they just dangle flags off the petiole. So like the Spirit of Sancti, the Billy, the Adibos, those are probably all do really well with the side lighting.
Along with that, I've noticed that it's starting to actually send its aerial roots out a little bit. So I'm wondering if it will now attach to said pole.
Are you still getting like 21 inch leaves?
Yes.
Yikes.
The newest one just started to unfurl. So once that hardens off, I will have to do a measurement. But I'm gonna try air laying it this time now. So then I have this the more condensed stack to start a new plant over.
Yeah, because that's what's always
You're gonna keep it?
The top. Do you want the bottom?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've always heard people arguing, and I think we've even had this argument of is it vining or is it self-heading?
Right.
And everyone's like, well, we've seen them on poles, and whenever we've seen them on poles, they've had that long internodal spacing.
But the giant one that's my favorite at the San Diego Botanical Garden is like compact as fuck.
Exactly.
Do they give it support though? Or
no.
Okay.
It's just in the middle of this like glass house doing its thing with giant leaves, long petioles, and just like all the nodes are just stacked right on top of each other.
Yeah, I think that's how it's supposed to be growing. So I do think it is a self-heading philodendron.
It would be nice because then they take up, I'm going to say take up less space, but I don't really mean that because their wingspan is still ridiculous. It's massive.
Well, I prefer that because then you can grow stuff up in between them. Yes. Like of something vining. That's what I would just do is like throw a sea onion or something in there.
Mm-hmm. What I've been doing right now is my War Eagle shield is kind of like back and behind it so that, I mean, sun's coming through it, but...
That is totally how I fit all my plants in the greenhouse as I just like shove them in between each other. And I was like, oh, this one's at this height and this one's petioles go this way. So like, I'm just going to wedge this other plant, which is the right shape in here. And then
it was that's how I get everything to fit in the IKEA cabinets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And forget trying to take anything out.
Oh God. Yeah. When it's watering time, everything comes out.
Yep.
And then they go back in one at a time, like Tetris style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before I put the cover on my greenhouse, I had just the frame with the shelves and I placed like the big plants in there first. And like, I know where to put the alocasia to get a little more light. And I know where to put like the crawling philodendrons to get a little less light. And then because like the outside of the greenhouse gets more light than the inside, the big plants are on the inside. And then because I was able to walk around on the outside without the cover on it. And I placed all the smaller plants on the outside, but now that the cover's on it, like I can't easily access those smaller plants, and I just hope I don't have to.
It's better than with my ficus. I stack pots on like the substrate of the pot underneath it. So like I've got my philodendron, I've got like a bunch of 6-inch pots on it, and on top of those 6-inch pots that are on top of the ficus pot, I've got like little 2 and 4 inch pots and like layers.
Nice.
Like onions.
Like ogres.
Like onions.
Not parfaits.
You got any cool plants that are doing fun things, Kat?
Gosh, I'm just trying to keep up with everything. It's busy season. I shared about, you know, blooms on my Hoyas. I'm getting more consistent blooms on my Hoyas now, and it's really fun. Got a lot of flowers going at once.
That's cool.
Now that I think about it, my Hoya's been pretty quiet. I haven't had a whole lot of.
Do you think it's the season?
I don't know. Maybe I have flat mites.
Oh, no.
Check with a microscope. I'm telling you, like, you gotta.
My Callistophila has been blooming pretty hardcore. Like, peduncles are starting to be, like, an inch or so long. Because I don't know if you know this, Hoyas will keep blooming from peduncle. And so the peduncles start getting, like, super long.
Gotcha.
So that one's been blooming really a lot. But the rest, I see the peduncles. They just aren't really doing anything yet.
Yeah, I've got the exact opposite problem. I've got a bunch of stuff that was doing nothing. Now that's been outside for 2 weeks, everything's wanting to bloom. So, like, this morning was spent cutting bloom stalks off everything.
My Serpens has a ton of peduncles that I'm dying to get to open.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I took my Serpens out of LECA, threw it in soil, and it went outside while it was still, like, 50 degrees because that's what it likes. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get it to flower.
You have to tell me if that one's a nectar dripper. I'm curious as to, like, what it tastes like. I'm always curious of, like, if the Hoyas taste like. I've always been curious, like, does the nectar taste like what it smells like? Because every Hoya I've ever tasted has had, like, the taste. It's had that taste of, like, kind of what it smells like, but not the way you'd expect. Like, a more
how
chemical.
How would the Hoya know to, one, smell like butterscotch and, two, taste like butterscotch?
Yeah, I was going
to
say,
that's like a nature miracle.
I'm going to start, like, making candy from Huskaliana nectar.
Dude, the what's the one? Lacanosa. That's my favorite one. Every time it'd bloom, I loved the way that one tasted. The one, it smells like old lady.
I was gonna say that's a Corniana. That's old lady perfume.
I love old lady perfume. It's like my favorite.
The Corniana that I have always had, it's like perfumey with a hint of urine. You know?
Old lady.
It smells good-ish.
I got my, when I was in, like, seventh grade, I got a perfume sampler for Christmas and it had three really great smelling things. And then the fourth one, I said it smelled like flowers in a porta potty.
Yeah.
Ick.
Yeah. Like it's good, but it has that, like,
yeah.
That was how I described it. And it was pretty accurate. My Huskaliana Variegata, I put it in the cabinet a couple weeks ago because Christine was like, it needs humidity. I was like, fine. Mm-hmm. It put out that one little runner and it's filled in with leaves. I'm like, gosh, damn it.
I was right.
I know you're right. You're usually right. I just, like, had other things in the cabinet and then I pared down cabinet things and then I put some of the cabinet things out in the tent.
Yeah, I don't know what's different, I guess, about that one.
Because he was getting enough light in my little grow frames.
Yeah.
I promise.
It likes light. It likes humidity. It likes moisture.
Yeah, I was going to say, whenever
just
I
let it go.
Keeps getting.
Yeah.
When I had the cuttings from you of that one, it would grow, but it wouldn't put out leaves. And the second I added humidity, it started actually holding on to the leaves.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to, it's in pond, but, like, when I have to repot it, do I want to put it in a bigger pond or do I just want to put it in soil?
You're going to want to put it in soil because you're you.
I know.
I should share the picture of that again from when I first got it. I don't think I have a picture from when I first got it.
What was it? Three nodes?
It was two nodes and it was a dehydrated mess.
Oh, yeah, because it was a rehab from Donna.
And this was back when they were like $150 or something for a node. And she was like, if you can get it to grow, you can have it.
And Christine did just that.
And you look at it now. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in the Discord, just search Huskaliana Variegata and look for Christine. Actually,
it's my profile picture.
It's nuts. It looks like a Christmas wreath on steroids.
Yeah, it's extremely
full. A variegated Christmas wreath on steroids.
And it's only gotten more full, obviously, since I've taken that photo.
See, that's the other problem. If mine starts to grow, I can't fit a trellis on its little. It's in one of those, like, self-watering pots that's, like, like, I don't know, a 3-inch circle. And I cannot fit it's pond, so I can't actually stick anything in there because it's rocks. And it's also not big enough for the trellis that I do have, so.
Speaking of trellis, I still need to get a trellis for my
You're going to get one with a dick on it?
Honestly, at this point, I need something to throw in there, like, 3 days ago. So at this point, it's just whatever I can get my hands on quickly.
What about the F word?
There's lots of F words.
The 4-letter one.
We'll talk later.
I like how you're doing this while I'm distracted, so I don't.
Well, you'll hear it later when you go to edit the episode, and then you can bleep it out, but it's not like the time I said.
Yeah.
That wasn't a beep. I just didn't say the naughty words. I'm going to whisper it so Catherine knows.
All right.
Bad, Kaylin. Ooh, boy. Let's see. I put my plants out in the greenhouse. I'm very excited. I actually have to go out and change the shade cloth now that I'm talking about it because it's Monday. No, it's Tuesday.
Tuesday.
I have to go do that.
I put a bunch of alocasia outside for the summer and they have been loving all of the rain.
I bet.
They've They've been going crazy.
I've been loving all the rain because I don't have to water right? stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm growing grass in the back. This sounds ridiculous. I'm growing grass. It's not like regular grass. It's where we buried
it's
our...
It's not like regular grass. It's cool grass.
I think I see a sticker coming.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I'm growing cool grass.
I mean, I'm growing cool grass, too, but you don't hear me talking about it.
Oh, shit.
We did a whole episode on it. What are you talking about?
We know this. Oh, boy. We buried our pets in the backyard, and it's where their graves are, and also where the plywood Brandon put down to put the soil on that he never moved that killed the grass. I'm reseeding it. It's way larger of an area than it started out as.
Yeah.
So I seeded it, and then I kept it moist, and everything sprouted, and the grass feels like fake grass. It feels like silicone.
Oh, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, if you want to go through my grass, you can.
Love to. Let me tell you about my grass.
But it's filling in. I'm keeping it moist. I'm watering it. Like, I really want one of those, like, automatic, like, timers where I can be, like, water it 3 times a day when I'm not here so I don't have to think about it. Mm. But those are expensive and I'm too cheap. But it's growing. It germinated. I'm very happy. It's filling in. With all this rain we've been getting, I've been having to, like, water less, which is great. I am not a fan of growing grass.
No, me neither.
I'm not a grass person. Like, we have a lawn, but I would like to have less lawn. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that I'm actually, like, reseeding and growing something for the first time since we moved in, which would be 3 years ago, I'm just like...
Do you want some prairie grass mix?
Do I have to keep it wet? Because that's the worst part.
I mean, at this time of year...
Let the weather do it for you this week.
That's true.
My dad just... My dad inherited a whole bunch of land when my grandpa passed away. And he's been converting it into prairie grass with, like, wildflowers and stuff. Because my brother is now living on the property. And so my dad planted a whole bunch of that stuff because they're hoping to start doing bees.
Nice.
He said he has, like, a coffee can of leftover seed left over. And it's...
The only thing is, if it's prairie, I'm not, like... This is an area that's probably going to end up being mowed.
Sure.
So, like, I probably...
I don't know if you, like, want a section of your yard to just be...
I don't have, a plan for that. So it would just be like, oh, we'll do it here. And I'm just, like, not prepared for that at this moment.
No worries. I mean, it's that seed, would be cool. So it can...
I was going to say, if I wasn't banned from doing that at home, I'd be like, give it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if I felt like reseeding the area where the neighbor put up the fence and never did anything to the soil, like, I could totally put it back there and just, like, leave a little strip of prairie. But there's rocks, and I feel like I have to remove the rocks before I let anything grow in because it's just going to annoy me later when it grows in as grass.
And then you can feel the rocks under it.
Yeah, and then, if I do want to put, like, some kind of garden back there eventually, like, it's going to be in my way. I'm going to have to put a shovel through that. Like, I'm going to have to pull grass out of the rock.
Better than landscape fabric.
That's what I did last year was pull grass out of rock that was on top of landscape fabric when I was putting in beds in my yard. And it was hard work, but I'm so glad that it's done.
That's what it's like at our house. If we do any yard work, we put any plants in, we always find, like, 2 or 3 inches down a layer of landscape fabric, no matter where. Mm-hmm. Just like, oh my God.
Landscape fabric is the worst.
Whoever had my house before me loved rock mulch so much that they had 3 different kinds because they couldn't make up their mind or whatever.
So. Gross. I spent the second summer we were here taking out the rock mulch. It took all summer. I did take August off because it was hot as balls.
Sure.
It's all gone now. And they use plastic instead of fabric. But then over, like, the 30 years it had been there, it just was shitty plastic. So every time I went to pull it, it would just rip. And then there was buckthorn everywhere.
Oh, ick.
Everywhere. So, like, I went through, I took all the rock out, I took all the buckthorn out. And when it was all done, we reshaped our beds, added compost, put mulch on top. I don't ever have to do that. Okay. I'm going to say I don't ever have to do that again. But under the deck... is a whole nother project waiting for me around the slab of cement that's down there. So I will have to do it this summer. Mm-hmm. And possibly where this neighbor put up a stupid, ugly fence. But
oh, yeah, your neighbor. Let's talk about your neighbor for a minute.
He's a boomer who's never talked to us in 3 years. And he just cut down a bunch of lilacs.
Yeah. Mm. Some really nice lilacs.
They were big.
Like, hedge, basically.
It was like the privacy hedge, right? Yeah. And we knew it was his because the rock mulch in the lilacs matched his rock mulch and not our rock mulch. But he cut it down. Didn't say anything. We were actually visiting my friend in Dallas, and we came home and we're like, where the fuck did the trees go? Why does the backyard look different? Oh my God, all the trees are gone.
Yeah.
And then he removed the stumps, did not remove the rock, put up a fence, put sod down on his side of the fence. And then we have like a lovely 3-foot section of the fence where it's just dirt and weeds and rock. Mm. And some of that rock also ended up in our grass. And like I said, I don't like grass, but I don't want rock in my grass.
Yeah.
And he's not doing anything. He didn't put sod down. He didn't put rock down. He didn't put mulch down. He just left it like a mess.
Why? He doesn't have to look at it.
Yeah.
I know. It's your problem. But I need to get in contact with the city and see if, one, there's a fence permit you need so that someone comes out and makes sure he's following the rules. And if there isn't a rule, then I will just shut my mouth and deal with it. But if there is a rule, that's the dog.
Most cities here in the metro area require a survey to be done by any fencing company. If fencing company is not doing it, they're not.
They did have a survey guy come out.
Okay.
They did that.
Then you're probably in the clear. As long as it was paid for properly, they're not going to
make him fix the other side of the fence.
If it's not on his property.
It's in the easement.
So here's the thing. But if, sorry, an easement?
That changes things. We have an easement on ours and we're in charge. It's going to be whoever is in charge of taking care of that easement. Like on ours, we're in charge of it. So we're the one who has to do all the work.
Okay, so there's the utilities and there's the easement. Is it each person on the side of the property line has the easement?
You need to check your deed for that.
Yeah.
It would be in the deed of the property.
Yes.
Because I was going to say if there wasn't the easement, if the fence is the hard property line, he would be in charge of cleaning your side though, because he made that mess. Mm-hmm. So you could go after him for that.
Yeah. And like, I don't require him to put down grass. I don't require him to, I just want the fucking rock on. That's what I want. I will do everything else. I just want the rock on.
Just throw it back over the fence. It's his.
That's what Brandon said. He's like, we're going to get 2 buckets, 5-gallon buckets. We're going to collect the rock and we're just going to dump it on his front step.
Every night, just spread a bucket around his yard so he doesn't notice until one day all the rock is gone. And he's like, what the hell?
But we got to find out the rules before we start getting petty about it.
I was going to say, just email your city. They'll give you everything you need
Brandon
to know.
Brandon went and got a permit and he said he didn't go in the city, but that was his job, is to get the permit to install the windows and do the siding and find out about the fence. And he didn't find out about the fence.
We email our city all the time about stuff.
I will. If I would have known he wasn't going to get the answer today, I would have done it 3 weeks ago.
Our favorite email, which I'm pretty sure we have
Brandon
automated.
Brandon was like, I'll take care of it. And Brandon hasn't taken care of it because he has ADHD.
Our email to the city is usually automated to like, the school has a fire alarm going off. It's been going off for 2 days. Can someone please shut it off?
Yikes.
During the summer, nobody's in there and a fire alarm goes off for some reason. It just continues to go off.
The fire department should arrive.
You would think. There's the new one, which is the beepy one. Mm. And then there's the bell one. And the bell one is on a different circuit. So every now and then it just goes off. And nobody will notice it because it doesn't trip any systems. That's safe. The hard way. It's not actually part of the fire alarm system. It's just an old thing that's still left over from a previous one.
Sounds about right. Gotcha. For school. They just leave the old thing and put a new thing in.
Yeah.
Paint over it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do they call it? Lipstick on a pig?
The new ACs are next to the old ones that are like a quarter the size.
Yep.
Oh boy. So yeah, that's my dilemma.
Yeah.
I did plant some wild Irish roses back by the fence, which like to spread and creep and will definitely grow on his side of the fence.
I'm having fence troubles at my house as well.
Will your fence rotted or fell down?
Part of it did, but the real issue is that my neighbors at some point in time, I mean, I've only lived in my house for 2 years. So at some point in time before we bought it, the neighbors were doing some construction of some kind in their yard and just piled up their extra dirt against the fence. But over time, it's just pushing the fence over into my yard. And I think the fence like belongs to them. We have a language barrier. Sure. So it's like, I gotta figure it out. But the plan is to build a new fence this summer. And hopefully we can communicate enough with them to get them to like, at least like build a retaining wall so that their dirt doesn't become our dirt.
Right.
It's like, it's knocking the fence over and rotting the siding off of our garage.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Ooh, it's a lot.
Get your dirt off my garage.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, they're chill. We just have a dirt problem.
Yeah.
And a language barrier.
Yeah.
And the fence on the other side is not in much better shape. So I'm going to do the whole thing, Let's do the whole thing, get it over with.
We had a panel of bar fence tip over. The bottom's rotted. And I think the whole fence when they put it up was like $1,500. Mm. To get this one panel replaced was $1,200 10 years later.
Ick.
That was, I think I think our neighbor just did it himself.
Yeah. He's I got a quote for my fence, which is not, I don't have a huge yard. I live in South Minneapolis and my yard, like the estimate for the fence is like 175 feet of fencing. It's not that much.
Right.
Like $10,000.
Yeah.
For
lumber is fence. Insane right now.
Yep. I don't know. Been. Like quotes are all over the place, but I was like, well, I am going to learn how to build a fence.
That's where you take the quotes and you keep going back to the other places and saying, well, this person will do it for this. What can you do? And then just slowly work it down.
I have ADHD, though.
That's my husband's method, too, is to just start a bidding war.
Yep.
Mine is to just YouTube it and see if I can do it myself because that's just too much work.
True.
Yeah.
Last time when that happened, it was like, all right, just call the professional because this is not happening.
Yeah.
I love it when you just mentally make that call of we're going to call a professional and then you just don't have to deal with it.
I just like having that as an option.
Yeah. I'm the DIYer, but like
same.
There's a limit to the things I can DIY.
I'm not allowed power tools or do any work with electricity after the outlet incident.
I was going to say, Kaylin, you're also in a relationship with the professional though. So
yeah. So I can delegate.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Hey, Brandon, I need this thing done that involves wood. And he'll be like, okay.
However, if I say that to Brandon, I get nagged at.
Brandon nags on you?
No, I figured you would.
Why, for stealing my handyman?
Yes, for stealing your handyman.
Yeah, you can steal my handyman. I just ask that you compensate him for his time because he doesn't... He doesn't have the extra energy to do extra things for people. And even though I'd like to volunteer him out for my friends as favors, like, he doesn't... And he doesn't charge enough either. That's the thing. But, you know.
I'm aware he doesn't charge enough.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Where am I going with this? If you want to hire Brandon, you just got to pay him. Because it's, you know, on his day off. And he.
I mean, I always pay people I hire.
Yeah, you paid me.
Yeah. Well worth it.
Wink.
Speaking of that, came up in top in a conversation with one of my friends not too long ago.
Oh, yeah, does your friend want some stuff, too?
He thought about it, but I don't think he's going to go for it.
Gotcha. We're talking about specific leather things. I've been...
About this. This is a normal conversation for us.
You should have heard what Kat and I talked about on Friday.
Is it podcast appropriate?
No. Okay. It's along the exact same lines of what we're winking at over here.
Oh. I mean, I got stuff like that I don't share on the podcast.
Right.
We need to move on.
Hey, we were like, we're going to get off topic. We're off topic.
Yeah.
Plants, Mackie. How is your yellow gem, your Altissima?
It's starting to leaf out.
Because you had no leaves on it, right? When you put it outside?
The four branches are leafing out, and then it looks like it's putting out 7 or 8 more side growths.
Like so new
branches forming, new buds that are expanding. So I'm hoping that it continues.
Nice.
I noticed on my Petiolaris the same thing after I put it outside.
Oh my God, my Petiolaris is growing. It's putting out leaves for the first time this summer.
I'm so proud of him. Send pictures.
Turns out putting it in a 4-inch pot to a 6-inch pot does it some good.
Yeah, and what was that you texted me the other day? You're going to start doing a Kaylin and up-potting more of your things?
Just one thing. I have
on record so I can come back and listen to this.
My aloe swordfish, they get like 2 to 3 feet across.
And they're a really cool color too. Look at you guys.
And like mine is already huge. So I was like, you know, I'm going to pull a Kaylin and I up-potted it to like a 6-inch pot.
Proud of you.
And it's deep too, so I can get that nice deep taproot to grow even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
I did the same thing to my tree aloe.
And then in fall, you're going to curse me because it's not going to fit.
I won't be able to get around to cursing you because I'll be too busy cursing myself or splitting up all my seedlings already.
Yeah. How many now does that make you have? Those didn't make sense. You had one seed tray with plants and now you have like 500 plants. Is that something?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I had one seed tray. I think it had like 70 or 80 aloes in it. I only kept like 20 of them, but now that's like 10 pots. That's like 10 to 15 pots right there.
Yeah.
And then like a lot of my other plants I've had to like split up because they're bigger seedlings than I thought they would be.
Mm-hmm.
That's causing issues. And my Haworthia, finally after 2 years, are getting out of their seedling pots and I'm splitting them up and it's, I got some cool things coming up.
Nice.
I'm excited.
I mean, you've seen some of the crazy ones I've been sending you. I haven't even been sending you the best ones.
Why are you holding out on me?
Because there are two that I'm going to be running through patent trials. And if they prove out and I'm able to register them and get one of them patented, then I plan to mass produce. And I'm trying not to share those ones too much.
You don't want
to
trade
keep
secret.
It exclusive.
Not necessarily a trade secret or keep it exclusive. Just they're the what I do is like to name stuff after people. And like they're the two people these are named after are like very sentimental to me. So
sure.
I'm not ready to share that stuff yet.
Sure.
If I was naming things, they would all be inappropriate.
I know, but there's actually naming conventions you have to follow.
Well, I would try to be as conventional as possible while still maintaining an air of inappropriateness.
Actually, the 2024 rules have pretty much ruled out a lot of that stuff.
Fine, really? Then I'll just abbreviate it, and the abbreviation will be secret until it gets patented, and then I'll be like, this is what it means.
Or you just make the common name.
I was going to say, or you just skip all the registers and rules and just do what everyone else does and slap a name on it and sell it.
Oh, my God. I see that in the National Hoyo group all the time. People are like, this mirrored mutation's happening. I'm calling it this after me. And I'm like, someone.
Okay, here's how that all works. If you grow it from seed and you identify something and you sort it out, you get to name it. If someone gives you a prop and it's something special, you do not get to name it. Unless you're the one who produced it.
Does it have to be produced from seed? Or can it be produced from cutting?
It can be produced from cutting if it's a weird mutant, but it has to be that cutting. So, like, if you get a cutting of something weird from somebody, you have no right to it. The person who got that original cutting and found that plant material will be the one who has the right to name it.
What if you get plant material and then, like, three leaves in, it puts out a weird mutation that sticks? Is that yours then?
Yeah.
Technically, but that's more of a gray area where you would respectfully approach the grower and be like, this happened, and discuss it. Or technically, if you want to name it, you do have the right, but you might be stepping on some toes and that might not be the best idea.
Yeah.
Horticulturists are vicious when it comes to these things, I've learned.
Yeah. It's all the different like polyneura mutations that are happening right now.
Yeah. That's one thing I've always had with the Hoyas is that splash that just incidentally happens. People will then isolate and be like, this is my new thing. No, it's not.
This is Kalen's splash.
Yeah. That's how you get... for the patenting process, it has to be like genetically distinct is basically what it is. So like, even if it's a mutation of something that's already known, it's not genetically unique it's.
That's like, cause my polyneuria has such a unique splash pattern to it, but I'm never going to be like, it's its own thing. I'm like, mine's cool. I call it like the zebra splash, but I'm not going to ever say like.
Polyneura zebra splash.
Yeah. The other thing about that is you have to be able to reproduce it. So like with my.
I have been able to do that.
With my Haworthia that I plan to do, I plan to run them through TC. And if I'm able to get them to reliably give me what I'm looking at, then I can continue on with the process. And most people will like, that's how that mutation thing will come up, is they'll find mutations and they don't stay stable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, people tend to name them anyways and throw them out there. Like that's how you get the Tycon creme brulees and all that stuff. They're not actual registered cultivars. They're just market names.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's like what a lot of people have been telling me whenever they've, find out that I want to do this. Like, well, why don't you just slap a name on it and call it good like everyone else? It's like, yeah, it's one thing, but like I said, I name it after people and certain things. So it's like, I want that to be remembered if I'm going to do all that work.
Yeah. You're spicy in the background.
She wants to play fetch with her reindeer during the episode. So I threw it all the way around the couch. So she had to take the long way.
And she fell.
Yeah, we heard her fall. Sorry, dog. This soft floor, not soft floor. What's it?
Slippery floor.
Yeah.
So question to you, Catherine.
Yeah.
What does your collection mostly look like?
Oh, yeah.
I would say it's pretty aroid heavy.
Mm.
Philodendrons and anthurium specifically. And then quite a bit of Hoya. Not a lot outside of that. A few things here and there, but like at specifically, I'm really into aroids and Hoyas.
So mostly like tropical plants.
Yes, like definitely tropical plants. I respect succulent growers, but I do not share their interests.
We crazy. It's okay. Yeah. No, succulents are one of those things where it's like you either like it or you don't. I don't know.
Yeah,
they just
don't speak to me.
I appreciate that we are yet again saying that Hoyas are not succulents.
Hoyas are not succulents.
Say it again.
Hoyas are not succulents.
Succulents. Don't take care of them like plants, you would care for a succulent.
Plant succulents, I don't view that as like a type thing specific. It's just a growth adaptation. There can be non-succulent plants that are have succulent growth.
It's just so TikTok, there's I can't remember the name specifically, but it started to turn into like a QVC special, like people go on lives and sell stuff. And they've been selling, I've seen one that they're selling plants, and he's always got some Hoya and he says, treat it like a succulent. And I'm sitting there like, don't do that.
See, I love and hate when people do that.
Yeah.
If people understand what they're saying when they say treat it like a succulent, to me that says well draining, airy mix. Can't really overwater it if you've got that mix. But most people interpret that as let it go bone dry before you water it.
Let
again.
It go super wrinkly.
The wrinkly.
Yeah.
Flaccid.
Yeah, sorry, if your Hoya leaves, if you're doing the taco test, it's already already let it get too dry. I mean, if anything, care for it more like an aeroid than you would a succulent.
Put it on a wick.
My Hoya get watered every 2 weeks with all my other plants.
Mm-hmm. Do I have Hoyas in soil? I guess I do. I restarted. I have Sunrise in soil and Rosita in soil. Everything else, I have one pond, and then the other two are in Leca.
Speaking
which is easy.
Of Hoyas, Christine, I was wondering if you had any interesting, like, epiphytic or ones that could be grown on, like, a moss wall that would be interesting, because I'm looking for something. I just don't know
I
what.
I don't. Right now, I'm trying to think of anything I have people do that.
And it's I like, don't I have a Polyneura in my red stuff.
That could be one.
And it's starting to, like, now that I'm watering it, it's coming back.
Because but like, I don't like to trellis or anything, so that could be one where you could.
Yeah, because I was thinking of like one that would like hang more.
Yeah.
And I just don't know Hoya well enough because
I see more Deschidia put on like planks or anything like that.
I had this IKEA cabinet I put a moss wall in. I'm growing a Ripsalis in there at the moment and a Hoya Polyneura.
I do love Ripsalis. That's my exception because it's epiphytic.
Oh my God. I love Ripsalis. One of my favorites.
Okay. We can nerd out about that.
Oh God. I got a Grandiflora to bloom last year and I'm excited because it has the largest flower on Ripsalis and it was like half an inch maybe. I was like, that's awesome.
Nice.
Wish I would have seen it in its prime and gotten a fruit.
I can't quite pronounce the Ripsalis I had that was flowering recently. The
Mesembryoides.
Yeah.
It means it's like a rock plant. Like a mesem.
Yeah.
So it's sponsored by Chevy?
Sure.
Cool. Rock.
But it had the cutest little, like starburst almost.
Nice.
Like they were so cute.
Yeah.
Surprised the heck out of me. I had been kind of ignoring everybody on the bottom shelf. And I was like, hey.
That's the nice thing about Ripsalis is since they're a cacti, they can go a long time without water and look really bad. And then you just give them some and they bounce right back.
Yeah. Going back to Hoya quick, y'all have to give me your shopping list because I'm going to start propagating hard.
Ooh, do you still have my good and getting?
I haven't started it yet, but okay, yes. Cool. But I also have your the one Pam gave us,
Papachoniae.
Yeah, that one.
Yep.
So yeah.
Cool.
I'm getting this up ready for the fall event. And
you could put that in the Discord and just make your list and be like placing orders.
Yeah.
I was going to say that's what I would have to do because I'm not actually looking for anything, but I am starting to be a little more open to getting a few things. I just.
Yeah, you want to get in Hoyas a little bit.
I'm iffy. I'm having a hard time like reaching outside of succulents at the moment after last year, but
they'll be there when you're ready.
But the Spirit of Sancti this year, I've got to get one. I saw one for $35 and I was like, all right, that is below my $50 limit. Why am I not buying it now?
Because you know your limits.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be my big finger to everybody who spent thousands of dollars on them. Be like, I got mine for $35. All I had to do was wait 5 years.
Oh, yeah. You could do if you feel like it. Get it and I'll grow it until you want it back. But then that takes the fun out of getting it.
Because Caitlin gets the butt cut. Yeah.
No, this is one of the ones that I would. Well, it doesn't prop well.
Oh,
so really? A lot of even botanic gardens complain that whenever they do cuttings, they tend to lose the butt chunk.
Interesting.
It just like never grows.
They usually start rotting, and if the cuts don't rot, the stump usually will rot.
I don't know. Bitch.
I've just heard multiple people say the same thing at multiple botanic gardens.
Weird.
I would probably just give it back to you then. I don't need to keep it. Just grow it for a little bit.
I was tempted to be like, well, instead of just cutting it and trying to prop it, why don't you air layer it?
Sure.
And then,
well, you know, I have that magic touch.
I know. That's why I was like, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily care about growing this one. I just want a big plant.
Yeah.
And then I like growing it and I can mm-hmm. do well by it.
I've got big dreams for a plant space someday.
Oh, I yeah. don't have a big enough house to have big dreams.
Oh, I'm planning this for whenever we buy some acreage.
I know, and you're going to put it in an atrium. Kat and I saw an Sounds atrium dope. The other day.
Oh my gosh, that was cool.
It was like, I don't know, someone's two-story house. Looked like
a little rooftop dome yeah. atrium Ooh. Thing. Well, not a dome. It was not round.
It was
but
square,
it was
a pyramidal top.
Right on the top, right on yeah. the tippy that's top.
Awesome. I tried oh, to stare cool. at it as I drove away, but I couldn't like tell if it was just like a obnoxious skylight or if it was like an actual like room. I didn't see any plants in there.
Did you just Which was a shame.
We were working next door to it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Is that the house, the neighbor's house?
If you were working there, I'd have been like, can I go see that?
I was going to say, most people who have those, they fucking waste them.
Yeah.
They don't put anything in there. I would have like a citrus tree in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my like, God. I'm a little margarita bar. Get yeah. your lemon and your lime and your orange tree.
There's a like rooftop greenhouse near Loring Park that I need to know more about. I can see it from my friend's apartment window. Nice. And it's full of plants. And at nighttime when the lights are on, you can see people in there like tending to them. But I can't, there's no like Google no Maps discernible. I don't think it's a business. I think it's a private it's a collection. Wow. It's near Loring Park. I'm not going to like call people out and be like, this is specifically where it is because I'm not trying to like
Docs anybody?
Strangers.
On the other hand, if you're out there and you recognize this, let us know because I'm curious.
Yeah. I'm fascinated by it, and I get quite a good view from my bestie's apartment. So I'm curious.
You gotta like leave them a little note. Be like, we really like your plant collection. Can we
I don't
come
know
over?
How I would get a note there. I like try to fly a paper airplane. That would go poorly.
Drone at drones. Just I mean, like tap on the glass.
Just go up to the greenhouse and tape something to the side and keep taping.
It's a rooftop.
They notice you.
A rooftop greenhouse.
Yeah. Oh, like you'd almost have to put the notice
in
on
a
the
high
building.
Rise, yeah. Wow.
The building door, but then how do you know where the entrance to that
right.
specific
Start
area is?
Start plastering every door and window you see.
That's so cool, though.
If I had the money,
because mm-hmm. I'm such a like urban jungle person. Like I love that mix of things. Like the Philippines, I absolutely adore it. Mm-hmm. So that's. Like dream goal for me is like a penthouse high rise with a rooftop greenhouse. That'd be so cool.
Saw I mean, some of those in Italy. I was jealous.
Yeah.
My dream plant setup is just a compromise to get my stuff out of my husband's space. And that is, I'm going to build you a shed, and put a greenhouse on it. So you don't bother me anymore. Yeah.
So you don't bother me. I would love to have that. Like, 'cause you talked about having like an atrium in the middle yeah. of the house. Like I would love to have like an integrated space so that you don't have to like super worrying about heating yeah. and cooling,
mm-hmm.
But still have like the height and the light.
Yeah. One thing that Noah has seen that he really likes are the people who are trying to build courthouses in the middle of their house and then
courthouses
or courtyards.
Oh, like Japanese style.
Yeah. Where it's like around and then they'll put the covering mm-hmm. over the mm-hmm. top. And they just have it going year round. I'm like, he's like, that'd be really cool. He's like, could you do anything with that with no direct side lighting? I was like, sky access. I could do a lot with that.
Is it open to the sky then?
Yeah.
Or, and it would be like a greenhouse. Mm-hmm. So like, it would have a, he would like put, a, yeah, he would put it something over the top so I could grow year round in it.
And then would the down on like floor level where you're walking, would it be open to the rest of the house or would it be closed off with glass?
I don't know. This is just a dream scenario. Whatever. He hasn't given me details about that yet.
Specifics.
Pretty sure he told me that just so I could come up with the details to tell him what I would need to make that a feasible thing that would make mm-hmm. it pretty for him to look at.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. that's kind of what it's starting to become.
Yeah.
It's how can you make
this
area look
I want something pretty.
Nice? Exactly.
Yeah. And if anyone out there has an area they want us to make pretty, we are available for hire. All of us. Literally all of us. We will all, not even together, but like you can hire any of us. We will come put plants in your space and you can pay us to grow them at your house. Especially if you have a cool atrium.
Not me.
They can contact you and then you can give them to us.
I was going
to
say, I won't do it, but I know some people who might.
Yeah, you can.
Or you could just contract it out and be like, me and my team will be there. And then you can just like bring a book and hang out while we do all the work. And then you take the money, split it in half. And
whoa.
But here's the thing. That whole middleman model doesn't work for me because I find it unethical.
Oh.
And I follow my ethics instead of money.
Just be the Must contractor. Be just send your team out. 10%. Just take, skim 10% off the top.
Oh, for all the work I put into what I...
Yes, Mackie. Goodness gracious.
I'm going to shut up.
What did I say is not safe for work?
I don't know.
Oh, it wasn't. This isn't not safe for work. This is just something this is a situation I shouldn't poke.
Because it's going to happen?
No, because it already happened and it wasn't fun.
Oh.
Do I know about this?
Yes, we did a whole episode on it.
Flipping?
Yes.
But this is services. This isn't plants.
But it's the same thing.
I'd be contracting, though.
Charging for work I'm not doing?
You get the job. You get the 10% off the top. And whatever. It's okay. Fine. Don't take 10%.
I don't want 10%.
Do all the work and give us the thing and we'll take all the money.
I don't want to do the work. I'll just give it to you guys and you can have it.
Fine. Give me all the money. Fine. Are you happy now?
I mean,
I don't know why we're arguing so much.
I was going to say, do we want to do plan of the week?
Yes. I need to.
I got one.
All right. What is your plan of the week?
My Pacopodium nemoquinum. My big one.
Ooh.
It's going to be like 3.5 or 4 inches this year, with the other one maybe a half inch behind it.
Nice.
I've had them for like three or four years now.
Wow.
Somebody
like this big.
Somebody in my neighborhood has their plants outside and they have two Pacopodiums that are like 6 feet tall.
Oh, nice.
And I was like, geez.
I wonder if that's a Lemuria or Gaia.
I don't know. I was not in a mood to be stalkery.
Oh, that's a shame.
I mean, I'll think about it next time I see him.
Good. Good.
Good, good, good.
I love me a spiky boy.
I like spike. I liked seeing the spiky boys and being like, that's a Pacopodium.
Pacopodium nemoquinum.
Nemoquinum.
My plant of the week is my Pilea peperomioides.
Okay.
Christine's going to have to spell that out now. I have my Pilea growing in Leca. Pileas absolutely adore Leca. They like that constant water. Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, oh, it has like succulent leaves. Let's treat it like a succulent. No, it likes water.
I was going to say.
It's a thirsty bitch.
Mine are just waking up.
Your Pileas?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't water them all winter. Because they're in my ficus, and I don't water my ficus in the winter. So they drop all their leaves and become stems, and then every summer they wake up and split.
That's cool.
And I have a whole pot of Pilea peperomioides.
I, too, have a whole pot of Pilea peperomioides because it put out babies. But what's nice is the babies cover up the naked stem trunk, and so it just looks like I have a tower. And it's in Leca, and it loves it. And
cute.
It's getting tall. I'll have to go show you, Kat. It's over.
Yeah. My plant of the week is my Anthurium vitarifolium.
Nice.
It's like, you know, the pendant leaves. And the longest one, I think, is probably like 32 inches at this point. And they just keep getting bigger.
Holy shit. How wide are those? Are they still pretty skinny?
Yeah. I mean, like, I guess like in comparison to the length of the leaf, I mean, they're like, I don't know.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Wow. Very
at the widest. Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah. For everyone that can't see, I'm holding my fingers up.
3 or 4 inches.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you have Discord?
I do. I'm not on there often.
Yeah. You should hop in and share a picture of that one because I want to see that one.
Okay.
Or just send me the picture and then I will post it on your behalf.
Okay.
Less work.
I'm actually going to go with a basic plant. I'm going to do my Thanksgiving cactus for my plant of the week. My white one specifically.
Is it blooming or is it just big?
It's just, it goes outside and it just gets super big and happy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
So underrated. I love my Thanksgiving cactus. It's so consistent.
Yep.
And it's just. I'm getting some seed for some of that soon.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah. I've, so I have 3 Thanksgiving cacti right now. Also disclaimer, they're not actually cactuses. They're tropicals.
Mm-hmm. Are cacti. They're cacti.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Tropical
cacti. They're
considered
Arizona.
Jungle cacti versus desert arid cacti.
I do like the jungle cacti. I'm into the jungle plants.
Yeah.
Those blooms, they're worth it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, they're so cool. But I have a white one. That's the one I started with, which is doing fantastic. I got a pink one when I left my old job. I got it as a gift. And then my mom had like 7. And
the one plant your mom's really good at
my
taking
mom,
care of.
The one plant my mom's really good at, but she's been killing them.
No, Teresa.
I go to her house and she really wants the dark foliage.
So and she's giving them low light.
I was like, okay, it's because you have them in a south window and they're too close. Just pull them back a little bit. What she took that was, I'm going to go put them in a bathroom with an east window and put them like 5 feet away.
That's not what Christine said, Teresa.
So they're dying. And she has a yellow one. She got a yellow one from me because I thought I had bought a white one. Turned out it was a yellow one. So I gave her the yellow one. Turns out the other one's actually kind of pretty popular.
Yellows are hard to find.
So the last time I was at her house, I took a bunch of leaves and I just potted those up.
Sweet. Yeah. So are they all three your plant of the week or is it?
No, my white one specifically. White one. We're talking at length about.
Look, Christine's getting distracted while still remaining on topic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. I was going to say them about that. Oh, a moment of silence for Jen's Thanksgiving cactus. Jen put her Thanksgiving cactus outside and it got mulched all the way down.
Oh, yeah. No.
And it was in like an 8-inch diameter pot. It was huge. And now it's.
I saw the picture from that and it was just as gut wrenching as walking out and seeing a chunk taken out of a Dioscorea by a squirrel.
Which I know it's not the same thing, Jen, but if you need any help regrowing a big one, I will help you.
I mean, if the roots are still there and they didn't eat down too far, it'll just grow back.
Yeah.
Same with my ogre ears, Jade. Well, and like to have such a huge plant just get munched on overnight, like rude.
Heartbreaking.
It was a really nice plant. Anyway, thank you all for tuning into this very depressing episode of Rough Around the Hedges. And please tune in next time to hear us stay rough.
I don't fucking know.
Bye-bye.
Bye.